Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Thursday afternoon, and we got the whole crew back together again. And yesterday was a little bit of a mess, at least from my perspective. I'm sure the guys did great. And I appreciate everybody who was around yesterday. So glad you guys were here. And we're going to have a great show today. We're going to have an amazing show, as a matter of fact. The whole Padres-Dodgers thing is crazy. And I don't just mean the game, but the whole Ohtani story is nuts. We'll get into all of it coming up. Let me thank all of our great partners. I'll start off with our people at 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Alex will put up the QR code. You're looking for a place to play blackjack, poker, other table games. You want to have a great brunch on the weekends. It's the best in South County, according to San Diego Magazine readers. If you want to have a great dinner, Sammy's Restaurant and Bar, incredible. And all in a smoke-free environment where parking is really, really easy. And so what a great place to play. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. You know what to do. Hey, speaking of playing, how about Prize Picks? Alex, you said yesterday you liked all the specials where you combine the basketball players with the football or with the hockey players. Or no, basketball and baseball maybe. It was because it was like Tatis. Did you play those or did you not play those?
I'm pretty sure everybody won with all the runs that were scored today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So listen, go to Prize Picks, download the app, use our code GREATFRIENDS. You're going to get a first deposit match of up to $100. So if you put in 100, they put in 100, you've got 200 to play. Download the Prize Picks app and use our code GREATFRIENDS. You're going to get that first deposit match of $100. Hey, big shout out to our people from Mushroom Life and Life Brew. If you would like to enjoy the benefits of mushrooms, I'm not talking about, you know, getting you high, and I'm not talking about getting you tripping. I'm just talking about the benefits of mushrooms. Mushroom Life Coffee, this new coffee that Brett Weiss has come out with, and the different mushrooms in particular, the two things that I always take away from it is one, clarity, focus. Okay. And the second thing is the anti-inflammatories from the mushrooms. So if you go to Life, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com, and you use our code KLIFE20, you're going to save 20%. And Brett says he's throwing in all kinds of other goodies. So make sure you check that out. Hey, big shout out to our people at Blenders. Where are my blenders? I had them here somewhere. Oh, here they are. How about when David Velasquez was on, the basketball coach at San Diego State, loving these blenders. And congratulations to Chase Fisher, their CEO. You know, he does some super cool stuff on social media. Yesterday, I saw him giving out awards to his employees, which I thought was super cool. So if you want to support this great local company, if you want to buy the best sunglasses with polarized lenses, and they're the right price point, you buy 4 or 5 pairs of these things. You have different colors. You have different looks. Blenders, blenderseyewear.com, and use our code Kaplan, and you're going to get a 20% discount, which is really, really awesome. Hey, I'll have more during the halftime. So let's get started. Let's go. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man, and we are coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. And we got a lot to get to today as we're just getting onto the airwaves of 1090, as we're just getting onto the stream of YouTube, all of the different audio podcast platforms, and tonight plastered all over TV as part of the Cox Your View Network, San Diego, Orange County, LA, and even into Santa Barbara. So we're just getting going. And Grande, Brown Man, a lot happening today on this Thursday between the Padres and the Dodgers, who played in the middle of the night. And I decided, forget it, man. I'm not waking up for this one. I tried two nights ago and then got up at 2:58 in the morning, went to turn on the game. Game was blacked out in my hotel room. We talked about it yesterday. I didn't get up, but I'll tell you this. I woke up and I went right to the report to see that the Padres had scored 15 runs against the Dodgers and then chased their brand new pitcher, the guy who's supposed to be the greatest pitcher of all time from Japan, signs with the Dodgers and gets chased by the Padres in the first inning. See, this is what I didn't understand. Like, what does the best pitcher in Japan equate to when he comes to Major League Baseball? And based on day one, it was not pretty for the Dodgers. But you know what else is not pretty? Is this whole Ohtani story. And I know we're going to get deep into it, so everybody stay tuned. Plus, the NCAA basketball tournament tipped off earlier today, and I'm looking for upsets right away. And so between what baseball last night or through the middle of the night, NCAA basketball tournament tipping off today, San Diego State getting ready for the tournament tomorrow. We are loaded, man. We got a lot to get to. So Grande, Brown Man, good afternoon to you two gentlemen. Glad to be with you fellas today. Yesterday, by the way, I got to tell you guys, using my phone from the Caleb Williams workout at USC, I can't believe how smooth that worked. That was amazing.
Technology, man.
I know. Incredible. What's going on, Grande? I see you with that North Park t-shirt on today.
Yeah, dude. It's a little warm in here. So it took the hoodie off right before the show. Number one, I actually did wake up a little earlier, not at 3. And by the time I tuned in, I think it was 8 to 3. And I was like, damn, what the hell did I miss here? Positives only today. Yes, positives only today.
because I saw that pause, though. What was that?
Yeah, Musgrove, you know, a little concerning, but whatever. Positives only. Okay. Yesterday, me and Browner ranted about how much we hated that Jake Cronenworth has to hit third. He has to hit third in this lineup against right-handed pitching because they don't have any other left-handed bats. So good for him today. Amazing. 4 for 4. Manny Machado loved it. And by the way, I don't know what that stadium does with their acoustics, but every stadium needs to because every ball sounded beautiful. Like every hit bat was like a rocket, dude. Even if it was a line out of Papa, it sounded amazing. So I do know this. There's one team flying back home very happy, and there's one team flying back home in disarray. If you think, as a Dodgers fan, that you can hide it all you want, because trust me, my friends have. You can hide it all you want, but if you're not a little bit concerned about this Ohtani thing, if you're not a little bit concerned about Yamamoto looking like an absolute bust, then you're just a liar.
No, you're in denial.
You're in denial. Because we'll get into it, the Ohtani stuff. But that's the story of the year in baseball. I don't care what happens the rest of the year. You're talking about the golden child of MLB. Rob Manfred, this is his guy. There is nobody else in the world that Rob Manfred wants to succeed more than Shohei Ohtani. So they're trying as fast as they can bury that thing. They're trying. They're trying to scoop this thing under the rug as fast as they can. Let's blame the interpreter. You know, let's just, hey, nothing to see here. Yeah, the truth's going to come out, bro. Truth's going to come out.
I'm so curious. The brain of Browner. Look at the big brain on Brown. He is giving us a face right now. Those of you watching on YouTube, you know he has no poker face at all. The guy cannot hide anything. Once he doesn't like something he hears, he starts squinting and making faces. Okay, Brown, what is – because he was talking about Ohtani. That's where you started to make faces. Tell me, what's going on in the big brain of Brown?
Afternoon, all. We got a problem. They got a problem. We got a problem. We got a Joe Musgrove problem. I'm sorry. We got a problem, but we'll get to that. Hey, y'all. If you rich, you spend a lot of money. You can gamble unlike other people can gamble. If I lose $20 when I gamble, all hell's breaking loose in my house. Okay? He can afford to lose $30 million. I don't know if y'all know, but he's tired for $500 million. Whether he gets it now, whether he gets it later, he good for it.
More.
$700 million.
Yeah.
So he good for it. Chill out. Ohtani, big fella, you play for the Dodgers now. You don't play for the Angels. You don't play for the White Sox. You don't play for the Mets. You don't play for the Jets. Baby, you play for the Dodgers. This big time. You can't have that kind of thing floating around you. You got what you doing? I know you're new to this country, but you can't be new to the game, baby.
Dude, he ain't new to the country.
He's not new to this country for your long-ass time.
He played for the Angels for 6 years.
I'm trying to – exactly. So he new to the country, okay? Don't nobody know what they're doing in Anaheim, okay? Yeah. What I'm trying to tell y'all is this. If you play for the Chargers and you do something like this, don't nobody care. You do something like this for the Rams, people need to know what's going on. You do something like this for the Clippers – don't nobody care. You do something like this for the Lakers, we need to know. And I said, what happened? He had this thing following him all this time in Anaheim. Ain't nobody give a damn. He on the Yankees, the Dodgers for two games, two real games. And people are like, wait a minute, you got a gambling problem. No, he don't. He rich. It's only a problem if you can't afford it.
He would Michael Jordan call it? Michael Jordan called it a hobby. It's a hobby.
Right. Yes.
It's a hobby.
Yes. He can afford to lose money. He got it. We don't. Charles Barkley talk about y'all all the time. He can lose $1 million at the crap table. He got it. It's big to us because we don't even know what it looked like. Well, Scott does because, you know, Google. But outside of that, y'all need to chill.
No, but I think need to chill. I know, but I think that the story here on Ohtani and him firing his interpreter, who by all accounts is his best friend, and the best friend, it seems like, I mean, put it this way. Let me put it this way. If
you know
you're
who that is.
Right. If you're a Dodger fan, okay, if you're a Dodger fan, you are in denial today and you're saying this is Ohtani's interpreter stealing from Ohtani, right? Ohtani's interpreter had a gambling issue and he didn't have the money to cover it. So what he was able to do is he was able to use Ohtani's bank accounts to settle his gambling debt. Not Ohtani. Ohtani's way over here. He didn't even know what's going on. Don't speak the language. I speak the language.
Me?
He's over here. But it was me, the interpreter. I had the gambling problem. I didn't have the money. I stole from Ohtani. That's why I got fired. Okay. Now, if you're not a Dodger fan, and in particular, if you're a Padres fan, because Padre fans are loving this.
Or Giants or Diamondbacks.
Or really anybody else in baseball who thinks that the Dodgers are trying to buy a championship, which, as we know in San Diego, it's hard to do.
Okay? Difficult.
But I mean, you can't try.
Right. You got to try. I mean, the Padres tried. Why shouldn't everybody else try?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not a Dodger fan, I'm guessing that what you think is this. Ohtani was gambling big money. And somehow there was a federal investigation of somebody. Ohtani's name comes up in it. And now somebody got to take the fall. And Ohtani can't take the fall. He's too rich. He's too famous. Like you say, Browner, he plays for the Dodgers. He don't play for the Angels. He don't play for the White Sox. He doesn't play for the Padres. He plays for the Dodgers, where now it's big news. Okay. Somebody's got to take the fall, and it can't be Ohtani. And so you feel, if again, you're a non-Dodger fan, you feel like the interpreter became the sacrificial lamb. Is that,
how about we talk to humans for a second? How about we talk to just humans for a second? Let's talk, if you are a human with a pulse, let me talk to you for a second. Mm-hmm. Your fandom aside, okay? Look at the timeline of what happened yesterday. 3 a.m. Pacific time, best buds in the dugout from 3 to 7 a.m. They were in that dugout, chummy boys, besties. Later that afternoon, this dude does an interview with ESPN. They're like, hey, we got a bit of a gambling debt. Ohtani gave me the money. I sent it over to my bookie in Orange County. We Gucci now. Before that story even comes out, Ohtani's people are like, wait, we can't say Ohtani gave you $4.5 million to cover a gambling debt. That's going to look bad. Oh, wait. Spokesman, hey, this dude's stealing from Shohei. Before that comes out, oh, hey, Jeff Passan, with your beautiful reporting, look at all these transactions directly from Ohtani's personal laptop to an Orange County bookie. And then now the story's rolling out. And this guy, the interpreter, goes, hey, I bet on football. I bet on soccer. I bet on every sport but baseball. Because we have meetings in spring training that tell us we can't bet on baseball. But yet, in those meetings, they actually never clarified that offshore bookies are different than DraftKings. Okay.
Big difference. Big difference.
Okay. So now, when Ohtani goes back into the dugout with a new interpreter and he plays a game, and if he's so innocent, there's three PR people guarding him like he's Kate Middleton in England.
Where's she at?
And he can't even say no comment He just got to have a wall of protection because he's so innocent. As a human being, let me ask you a question. Does any of that sound fishy to you?
He speaking no English. He's been in Orange County for 6 years. He's speaking no English now.
Okay. And by the way, his interpreter
no English
did not come in 2018. His interpreter's been in the United States for 25 years. And if you live in California, you think I know, Browner knows, my wife even freaking knows that sports gambling, like gambling on sports, is illegal in California still.
Hands down.
He's been here for 25 years, man. This ain't like some lost in translation setup here. I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking a question, though, for real. Like, for real. Come on.
That timeline was interesting. Just put it up on the screen if you can, just really quickly. That timeline that you just went through, really, really, really interesting for those that are because I'm telling you right now, Browner, you said earlier, they're going to try and brush this under the rug. They're going to try and insulate Ohtani. And chances are, if I had to take a guess, the LA media, this would be a guess here, will very likely not attempt to dig deep and cover this story. Because it's a $700 million player for the Dodgers who prior to yesterday and this controversy was adored, loved, exalted, you know, and I think that Dodger fans and LA media, I think will continue with that and they'll completely blow it off. Whereas outside media will attempt to go through it. Here's the timeline for those of you that are watching. The spokesperson tells ESPN that Ohtani transferred the money to cover his buddy's debts. Then the guy, his name is Mizuhara, does a 90-minute interview. I haven't seen that interview. Have you seen that interview?
No, it was just like a written interview.
Before ESPN published a story, Ohtani's spokesperson disavowed the account. Spokesperson released a statement that showed he's been the victim of theft and no further comment. I mean, and then just one last thing here is go to the reporting on this story. Who is this from?
Passan.
Okay, so this is Passan of ESPN. Go ahead, read that if you could.
The timeline. Initially, a spokesman for Ohtani told ESPN the slugger had transferred the funds to cover Mizuhara's gambling debt. The spokesman presented Mizuhara to ESPN for a 90-minute interview Tuesday night, during which Mizuhara laid out his account in great detail. However, as ESPN prepared to publish a story Wednesday, the spokesman disavowed Mizuhara's account and said Ohtani's lawyer would issue a statement. That statement said, in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of massive theft and we're turning the matter over to the authorities. The spokesman declined to answer any further questions and the statement did not specify whom they believe perpetrated the alleged theft.
I don't know. This all seems so weird.
Hey, listen, let me tell y'all something. Y'all should have seen this fastball coming. Y'all know why? He signs with the Dodgers, gets a dog. Okay. Then all of a sudden gets engaged.
No, got a wife.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're correct. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. My bad. Put a ring on that thing. Got him a wife. So now he got him a dog and a wife. Mm-hmm. So he cleaned him up. The Dodgers cleaned him up. They knew about this. This wasn't something they didn't know. You give this man $700 million. You mean to tell me you don't know he got a gambling problem? Yeah. You mean to tell me they probably paid him and then found, wait, this dude been betting on baseball. We need to put this on somebody.
By the way, no one's saying he's betting on baseball yet.
Right.
That's no one's saying that yet.
Come on, man.
No. Well, no, but here's the thing. It's not about necessarily betting on baseball. It's about looking like it's too fishy. And people assume just the same way people assumed about Phil Mickelson. Because Phil was kind of pretty much out there. And Phil was talking about how much he was gambling. You know, mentioned that Michael Jordan talked about gambling. So did Charles Barkley. But this just seems, something seems unsavory and something seems off here. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm not sure that the whole world is assuming that he's betting baseball, I'm not sure that's the case. They're just like, something doesn't seem right here. And the way the timeline works and the spokesperson versus the interpreter versus the law firm, it all seems off here. And so
I need to ask somebody for a favor. Okay. Scott, you know this man. I hope you can get this message to him. Alex, if you could please cut this and put this on the Instagram, put this on the Twitter, put this on the Facebook, put this on the TikTok, put this on the Telegram, put this wherever, because I need him to hear this. Kevin Acey.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Acey, under the Freedoms of Information Act. Because this is a court case. You need to see every bet Ohtani made. Every single one, because the investigators know Kevin Acey.
Well,
do us all a solid.
Well, you know what?
You're to the ground, baby.
You know what? You're onto something here, because if you're Kevin Acey and you're the reporter that covers the Padres, you could make your career on saying, right here, I'm going after this guy. I'm going to be the one to expose this. It's an interesting point. I mean,
So we clarify something for people that maybe are still confused. What's illegal about this?
Well, I'm not sure there's anything. I don't know. I don't know yet. I'm not sure it's illegal as much as it just seems unsavory in some way. It seems illicit. It seems behind the scenes. He's not playing Prize Picks.
Calvin Ridley was suspended for a whole season by the NFL for betting non-football.
So what I'm saying is this.
Or did he bet football?
He bet games that he wasn't involved in. Correct. If this is true, and I believe it is, he bet on baseball, because ain't no way you bet on all this other stuff you don't know nothing about. But the thing you know the most about, you don't bet on? The thing that you got inside information on, you don't bet on? Okay, cool. If you want to be foolish and believe that, you go ahead and believe that. I'm going to tell y'all what I believe. I believe the Major League Baseball should suspend this man after Kevin Acey does this groundbreaking report. Six months on a Pulitzer Prize piece of information for the UT.
Hey.
The UT, get Kevin Acey on this ASAP, bro.
I have a lot simpler question.
ESPN might have Jeff Passan all over it.
Oh, Jeff Passan's going to discover this. Trust me. Yeah. Like, but Jeff Passan. No, well,
I love you, ESPN. I really do. ABC, Disney, the whole family. I love y'all. Can y'all please give me into Disneyland? I got 4 kids. Listen. Y'all ain't got this in y'all stomach. Y'all ain't got the gut for this. Okay. Y'all need somebody outside.
We need Don Van Natta Jr. Where's he at?
You can't. They not going to bring down the Dodgers. They not going to bring down Ohtani.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Trevor Bauer, Julio Urias, Shohei Ohtani. Back to back years. They'll go after him, bro.
First of all, the Bauer situation got out of their control. Okay.
Well,
This is different. This is different.
I think this is
betting on baseball. Look what they did to Pete Rose.
No. It's not yet betting on baseball. But here's the thing. It is different, Browner. I agree with you. It is different for this reason. The Bauer case was about sexual assault, which, by the way, seemed to have been a big lie, frankly.
Well,
The Urias case is about physical violence. don't even talk about Bauer, because I can't. He'll take the whole show down. Okay. Yeah. Do not talk about him because he's obsessed like that. But the Urias case is about physical violence against a woman. The Bauer story was about sexual assault.
The Bauer allegations.
Right. And both of those things happen on the Dodgers team. And this is now another really bad look for the Dodgers, who spent big money on this guy to have this sort of controversy. But the difference is, to your point, the difference is Ohtani was very likable. Very likable. You know, people love Ohtani.
Let
me say this really quick before we keep going.
And we're missing one of the bigger parts of the story too, by the way, that we hopefully get to in the next.
Hold segment. It. We'll bring it right back. Hey, I want to send a shout out to my guy, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. If you're looking to buy a house right now, I realize interest rates are still high. Prices are still high. But if you're looking to sell your house because your homeowner's insurance has gone through the roof and you're like, that's it, I'm done, I'm selling them out, talk to Gary. He can help you. He can help you buy, he can help you sell, he can help you finance, he can help you refinance should you need to do that. Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. We'll pick it up because I want to hear what Browner thinks is the next big part of the story, coming right back on Kaplan and Crew. Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Thursday. It is the tip-off of the NCAA basketball tournament. The Major League Baseball season is underway, with the Padres splitting with the Dodgers and scoring 15 runs last night and chasing their new multi-gazillion-dollar pitcher, who's supposed to be the greatest pitcher of all time to ever come from Japan. They chased him after an inning. So we got a lot of basketball, a lot of baseball, and then generally a lot of other nonsense to talk about today, including this whole Ohtani story. Browner, you were saying at the end of the last segment that we had not really gotten to one part of the Ohtani story. We kind of documented how the story changed so much. And, you know, you said that Kevin Acey of the Union Tribune should go after these guys and should make his career on trying to expose what really happened here. You know, other people have said something similar. I mean, Dan Patrick on national radio said today, if I'm a reporter, I am going all in, because you're talking about the biggest star in sports. Listen, LeBron James, maybe the biggest star in sports, but Ohtani with the $700 million contract with the Dodgers is maybe the biggest star in sports on the planet, maybe behind a couple of soccer players or maybe an F1 driver, but he's, wouldn't you say Ohtani's a top five international sports superstar? So if you're a reporter, you can make your name off going after some sort of a controversy like this. What have we missed in this story, Browner?
What the thing that we have missed is how bad the Angels organization actually is. Think about what has happened in under the watch of the Angels organization. Because, I mean, we can all agree that this debt didn't come over the summer while he was signing with the Dodgers. So if he'd been betting, he's been doing it for a while. Under the Angels organization, you had a drug dealer giving drugs to someone on the team.
PR staff member.
Yeah. The Angels organization. Dying. A player dying from it. And now this. So if we are looking at it from in its totality, if we're tracking this down, that's where you start. Because that's where you're really going to start getting the truth from it. Because he walked away from them. So if you want to look under some rocks, start in Anaheim. And you'll start getting the truth about what's going on with that dude. Again, Kevin Acey, you ain't got to drive far, baby. You ain't got to drive far. They ain't even a full tank of gas there and back.
Browner, why don't you go for it, man?
Yeah, why don't you do it, man?
I wrote one article for the UT. It was very well done by me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if they call me, I can take care of it, but I'm going to have to be on salary. Y'all going to have to kick me some bread.
To Browner's point, you know? The first, whether given or stolen, the wire transfers did happen in September and October. That's like a fact. So it did happen while he was an Angel. So there you go.
Yeah, but I would just say this. I mean, like, I hear what you're saying, Brown, but like, nobody cares. That was your point. You know, no. If you do this, if this were Ohtani of the Angels, no one would care, but it's Ohtani of the Dodgers. If this were Kawhi Leonard of the Clippers versus Kawhi Leonard of the Lakers, no one would care. If mm-hmm. this were the quarterback of the Chargers versus the quarterback of the Rams, no one would care. When you're the secondary team in town, no one cares.
Small pushback.
Okay.
If he's betting on baseball, it mm-hmm. will matter.
Oh, where of he course. Was right, of right. course. Of course. Right. If he were betting on baseball, no sure. doubt.
But right now, we don't know that.
Again, this is all speculation. I'm not saying he did anything. I'm simply asking.
What do you mean you're not saying he did anything? You freaking spent the whole first segment on baseball. And we were trying to backtrack it going, hold on. We don't really know. And we don't really want to be
that
sued.
That has not been reported yet.
Right.
Okay, listen. Again, let me finish. Okay.
Well, I'm you not finishing saying, could get all of us in trouble.
I'm not saying he did anything. But what I'm saying is he did it. Okay? Okay, I'm not saying he did it, but I'm here's telling some, y'all, he did it. Use your logical mind.
Right. Well, here's some more fishy stuff. Okay, let me play you this video. This is the video of yesterday of Ohtani being super chummy with his buddy Ipe Mizuhara, the translator that he's had since he's been in the United States. Right. This mm-hmm. is yesterday okay. during the game. Does this look like a man who stole? I'll ask that question because I'll follow it with this. Does that look like a man that stole $4.5 million from Shohei Ohtani? Number one. Number two, hold on. Number two, some more information for you. Jeff Passan was just on, the guy who wrote the story, one of the story, was on Pat McAfee right now mm-hmm. and reported mm-hmm. when that happened during the game yesterday, mm-hmm. Ohtani was already aware that there was something going on. Yeah. Ohtani was already aware that something was already going on. He's reporting that after the game yesterday, in the clubhouse, the Dodgers front office, PR, whoever, told the players there's something going on with Ohtani and his interpreter. Gambling wise, the interpreter after the game, directly after the game, when everybody's still in the clubhouse after the win, addressed the entire team and told them what was going to be reported.
I'm gambling, y'all.
From that moment to the moment the story got published, the story changed. And that's what Jeff Passan is telling us right now. It went from he covered his debts. He had a gambling that the interpreter had a gambling debt. Ohtani paid it off. That was the story. And then from the moment he addressed the clubhouse to the story coming out, it all changed to theft. And that's where Passan's like, we don't know what happened in between those couple hours. Okay. That's where we're at right now.
Do me a favor. I'm finna break some news for y'all. Okay. Play that video back. I'm finna tell you what they said in the dugout. Play the video again. Hey. Did you you play some March Madness best, right? Hey, the best. The best I told you about the March Madness. What? Yeah. I play those best. Good, cool. Cause we're gonna make a lot of money. Can you San Diego State? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. San Diego State. See? Boom. It don't take a lot. I'm reading lips. I'm reading lips out here. I'm telling y'all, man. Look, I'm not saying he did nothing, but he did that. Okay?
I'm just going to tell you guys right now. I'm going to tell you this right now. I always tell all the radio listeners, you should always come to the YouTube channel. When you see the video that we just played and you hear Browner's interpretation of the conversation, it's really good.
It lined up in the beginning.
It really was really, really good.
It tailed off, but yeah. In the beginning, I was like, wait, is he actually reading this dude's lips right now?
Right. It was really good.
In Japanese?
And the other thing is that at one Ohtani's hand is like over his mouth, kind of. Yeah. So like you don't really know what he's saying. But if you go back to this, here's a thought. You ready? Here's a thought. So if Ohtani's interpreter addresses the Dodgers, imagine your Mookie Betts, your Freddie Freeman, Dave Roberts, you're one of these guys. You're Gavin Lux over here, you're Will Smith. You're like, wait, hold on. We spent $700 million to get the greatest baseball player on planet Earth. And now his interpreter is talking to us about gambling related issues. And it's kind of, again, it always goes back for me to like Trevor Bauer. They knew who he was before he joined their team. He showed up with his cameras. He showed up with his vlogging and his YouTubing and everything else. Like they invited that into their clubhouse. You're a ball player with the Dodgers. You're like, we invited this guy into our clubhouse because he's a $700 million a year baseball player. He's the greatest combination of pitcher and power hitter that baseball has ever seen in our lifetime.
Gambler.
And we gave him all this money. And now we're listening to his interpreter tell us about covering gambling debts. And think about this. You're the interpreter. You're the best friend, right? Mm-hmm. Browner, you said it all day. Ohtani can afford $4.5 million of gambling debts, even if they were his, because he's a $700 million a year guy. Alex, you said earlier, he's making $65 million this year in endorsements. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Hey, Ohtani, I'm your best friend. I'm your interpreter. Hey man, I got myself into some trouble. Okay. I was gambling and I created all this gambling debt and oh my God, I'm in trouble, bro. Can you please cover this for me? I'll interpret for free. Okay. And Ohtani says, hey, you're my brother. You're my guy. Okay. I need you. All right. Yes, I'll cover the debts for you. And Ohtani allows him to use his bank account, if you will, to pay for the $4.5 million worth of gambling debts.
Time out. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
now listen.
Full stop.
I can say this without a shadow of a doubt because I don't have a bookie.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are any bookies watching or listening to this right now, I have a question. What kind of bookie gives an interpreter $4.5 million worth of credit
Come on, man.
I know a guy.
Come on, man.
I know a guy who listens every day. I'll just say this to you guys. You both know him.
Come on, man.
You both know this guy. But what you may not know is that he's a bookie.
Okay.
Because he has a couple other businesses, and you guys know him.
Yeah.
But you may not realize that his primary business is straight cash, homie.
Okay.
He's a bookie.
Can you text that dude right now?
How about this?
Hey, immediately.
How about this?
How much you got to make to get 4.5 million credit?
How about this? You ready?
Credit.
How about we bring him on the show and we four box the show and we make his box black? Like, you don't see who he is. You only hear his voice.
Sure.
Cool. Of course. No problem. Yeah, done.
But honestly, that's a serious question though, bro. Like, honestly, like, there is no chance in hell. And listen, I am not aware of the lifestyle of bookies. Okay. All I know is Rocky tried to break some thumbs, but he was too nice of a guy and he couldn't do it. But all I know is that that's a lot of freaking money, man. And if you owe that much money, chances are it's because you're backed by somebody that has that amount of money, or you are the guy with that much money.
I guess the question would be, what do you think? The bookie. At what point do you kill somebody? What's the kill number? if the interpreter, okay, is up to $4 million, when do you just kill him? Because you know you're not going to get that money.
So wait. So what do we think here, though? I mean, what do you think the prevailing concept and notion is? You ready? Ohtani was gambling.
Wait, from who, though?
The general public, the non-Dodger fan. You ready? The general public, or the guy who's not an Ohtani lover. You know, you're a Yankee fan, but you love Ohtani. Okay. The guy who out there is just sort of skeptical about stuff. You ready? Is this the assumption? Ohtani was gambling, but his interpreter was the fall guy. Is that the simple explanation to all of this?
Pretty simple.
I can only answer for myself, but I think that's mine.
Okay, so
I don't think that is what I think.
The interpreter is the fall guy.
I don't think that's what I think.
I don't think that's what I think, but that's what I think. You didn't
say it, but that's like you said. That's like somebody saying,
"Yeah,
I'm not that's saying like, he did it, but he did it.
Right, but he did it. Right, exactly. Right. And if you're reading this through the Dodgers lens, like how you can't think that. Is beyond me. Like, and by the way, I'm not saying that because they're best friends, they know every single aspect about their own personal lives behind closed doors. I'm not trying to assume that at all. I have close friends. I guarantee you, I don't know the skeletons in their closet. So if this dude had a legit gambling problem or debt, like, and then Ohtani was just like angel of a man that just paid it off. Okay, great. Prove me wrong. That's all.
Well, that could happen because, like, okay, let's say you get yourself into some trouble. Okay. Alex, I'll use an example. Mm-hmm. Let's say you get yourself into trouble with gambling. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm making up a number here. You've got a $10,000 gambling debt, right? Yeah. And you don't have the 10 grand to cover it. And you're feeling the heat and whatever that heat means. Cause Browner's asking you, at what point do you go whack a guy, you know, right. but you owe $10,000
in danger,
right? You owe $10,000. You owe 10 grand to a bookie and the bookie is now saying to you, if you don't pay me my 10 grand, we're coming to your house and we're going to start roughing you up. Mm-hmm. Okay. You then call cousin Nancy, who has the financial wherewithal. Sorry, cousin. I don't mean to count your checkbook here, you know, but cousin Nancy, you go, cuz I'm in trouble. I'm in big trouble here. Okay. I owe $10,000 in gambling debt. I'm so sorry. I swear to God, it'll never happen again. I'm giving it up once and for all. I got myself into trouble. I made a bet I shouldn't have made. I was trying to win my money back. I'm in big trouble. I owe $10,000. Mm-hmm. And cousin Nancy says to you, I got you. You're with me. We're familia. I got you. Okay. Browner, you're distracting me by changing microphones. I don't know what the hell you're doing. But let me keep going. Is that conceivable, Alex? Is that conceivable? It is conceivable, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So isn't it also conceivable that Ohtani's interpreter gets himself into a big ass gambling mess and he goes to Ohtani and he says, hey, Ohtani, I'm so sorry to do this to you, bro. I got myself into this terrible, terrible gambling debt. I shouldn't have done it. I know it's going to reflect poorly on you. I'm so sorry. Can you please help me by covering this? And Ohtani says, you're my brother. You're my guy. It, maybe we can actually pay this off and keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then what happens is Ohtani helps his boy, but wait a second. For some reason it gets out. And now once it's out, rather than it being, I help my boy, it's now somebody stole from me because I can't have this sort of dirt on me. Is that not possible?
Yeah.
No, not possible. There's a small thing that Alex said in the very beginning of this that for that to be true, you would have to deny the original fact that it was paid from Ohtani's laptop. Mm-hmm. Now, if you, sir, you packed up 10 grand in debt and somehow let's make it a little more simple. Let's say I run up $10,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. I call my dog Scott Kaplan because I done Googled. I know he worth a couple million. You feel me? So I'm going to call him up and I'm going to say, yo, big dog, here's the thing. I'm a, what we call him? I'm a hey king of favor. I need 11 grand. Okay. I owe 10, but then some other stuff. I got another bet I got on the back burner. So I need 11 grand. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get this 11 grand from you, mm-hmm. but I need you to pay it through your computer and your laptop. Don't give me the money so then I can go pay through my account. I need you to pay it through your account on your computer, from your house, from your internet.
All right, explain the detail to me then that I'm not clear on. The detail is that the money was paid and it's already been like sort of discovered and I hate to use this word, proven, if you will. This money was paid from Ohtani's computer.
Federal authorities learned of Ohtani's wire payments in January as part of their investigation into the bookie's operation. ESPN reviewed wire transfer data for two of the transactions, each totaling $500,000. Quote, Shohei Ohtani is visible alongside various bank account and wire transfer information. And the word, quote, loan, quote, Ohtani is the Japanese two-way player's legal name or whatever that means. So, yes, the feds have this information of wire transfers, each totaling 500 grand with the words from Ohtani, like Shohei Ohtani's name is on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But does that necessarily mean that it came from his computer, or does it necessarily mean that it came from his bank account? Somebody puts Ohtani's name on the transaction.
So there's still a lot of questions out there. The reason why this is being questioned is because the story changed before it all came out three times.
Right.
Why? That's why. So if your hypothetical that you brought up for me and cousin Nancy, if that's the way it stayed, I think there'd be a lot less questions. But the fact that before we came on this show and I was like, yo, cousin Nancy paid off my 10G debt before I got my thumbs broken. Before we even came on here, freaking AC throws it on the UT that I'm like accusing you of robbing me or something. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, it's just all of a sudden it starts getting jumbled. And that's why questions start happening, which is why Browner is saying he didn't do it, but he did it.
Mm. Well,
the problem with all this is, as Scott throws on the bomb blenders, shout out. The problem with all this is
stinks.
The Dodgers wouldn't have gotten away and just said, yo, this guy borrowed some money from Ohtani. He's going to pay it back, but he can't work for us anymore because we don't really want someone gambling around our organization. Everybody wipes their hands. They go. But it's stolen, which requires now we need to investigate. Everybody needs to investigate. Mm-hmm. This is bad PR.
Like this dude said it himself. He paid my debts. He pulled the clubhouse.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Ohtani's the same people that set up the interview for the interpreter with the ESPN all of a sudden are like, whoa, hey, hold on now.
Yeah, it's all fishy. Hey, listen, real quick, I just put on my blenders. This is the edition, the 12-year anniversary edition. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but Chase Fisher, the CEO, announced on social media that they created another 300 pairs of these things. The way he said it was, we found another 300 pairs. Maybe they did. If you did not get your blenders, the 12-year anniversary blenders that they made for San Diego State, they found 300 more pairs. Alex, you are wearing the pair that I've got to get, which is, what do they call those glasses?
Blue light.
I'm sitting in front of a computer all day. And by the end of the day, my eyes are so red. And by the way, not just red, I'm exhausted. Like I look at things on my phone. I can't even see them on my phone because my eyes are just so wiped out, exhausted. I gotta get a pair of those.
I got two purrs. I got this one and I got a black pair too.
I gotta get a couple of those purrs. But you see, that's the thing about blenders is that the quality is so high and the price is so right that you can buy multiple pairs. If you go to the mall and buy a $300 pair of Ray-Bans, you scratch them, you break them, you lose them, you're pissed. With blenders, you go buy four or five pairs. A pair breaks for some reason, you sit on them in your car, or you lose a pair by accident. You're not that pissed.
In Vegas and lose them.
Right. Use that QR code that's on our screen right now, or go to blenderseyewear.com, or go into the store and use our code Kaplan. You save 20% on blenders. If you didn't get into their 50% sale last weekend, save 20% by using our code. All right, stick around. Lots more to get to. Let's move into a little bit of NCAA basketball on the way. This is Kaplan and crew from the 7 Mile Casino. All right, everybody. Hey, here at the halftime, I just want to mention a couple of our great partners. I'll start off with our people at Torrey Holistics and California Holistics. As you know, they've now added Oxnard Holistics. So if by chance you happen to be going into the Grande's Hood, the 805, Oxnard Holistics is now open. Use our code BETTERBUD. You know, I had a message from one of our listeners the other day asking me for our code because somebody in his family was sick and they were like, you know what? We're thinking that this might help her appetite. So if you need cannabis products for pain, for appetite, for sleep, for recreational purposes, whatever, there are a lot of places to buy cannabis in San Diego, but Torrey Holistics and California Holistics. Those are our partners. Use our code BETTERBUD. You save 20%. Hey, big shout out to my guy, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. You know, Gary came on the show last week and he said that he's getting calls from people that are saying, hey, I'm moving out of the state. Homeowners insurance is going through the roof. I can't afford it anymore. I'm done. So if you're thinking about selling your property because for some reason you're deciding to relocate, talk to Gary Cooper because he can really help you out. Okay. Buying, selling, the financing side of all of this, Gary's an all-in-one shop. Call him, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. And lastly, let me mention our friends from BetUS. BetUS.com, 1-800-MY-BETUS. That's the phone number to set up an account. If you are thinking about the NCAA basketball tournament, if you're thinking about the NBA and getting ready for the basketball playoffs, if you're thinking NHL, hey, right now you're probably thinking baseball too. You can play it all on BetUS. BetUS.com, 1-800-MY-BETUS to set up an account. And they've got that 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, and then that 200% bonus when you're using cryptocurrency. So if you're wanting to play and you're always trying to figure out how do I do it, BetUS.com, 1-800-MY-BETUS. And just last thing, we're getting ready now for the Yacht America and our cruise on March 30th. Last thing I'm going to ask you to do is go to our website, KaplanandCrew.com, and make sure you buy some of our merch. Alex, I ask you every day, is there any sort of a sale today? Because it just sort of happens randomly. They don't contact us. They don't tell us. I always like to share with you guys when there's a discount going. And so Alex will tell us here in a second.
Free shipping next 5 days starting today.
Oh, okay, cool. So look, if you have not yet bought your Kaplan and Crew merch and you are coming out on the boat with us, free shipping starting today over the next 5 days. KaplanandCrew.com. Hook up with some merch. And the day of our cruise, rock merch, rock the blenders. You know what to do. Let's get back to the show. All right, great friends. Hey, it is Thursday afternoon. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. We're coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. We've been talking so much today about Ohtani and gambling controversy, and yet I must tell you that in the next segment, we're going to be talking about how do you play San Diego State versus University of Alabama Birmingham in the first round of the NCAA tournament. How should legally. We bet it? Yeah, legally. How can we do it? How should we do it? So we're going to have that conversation coming up in just a couple of minutes. So for those of you that want some action on this San Diego State UAB game, you definitely should stay tuned. Hey, guys, as we catch our breath here from all this Ohtani talk, I want to just take a quick step backwards for 1 second here and talk to you guys about yesterday when in the opening segment of the show, I was using my phone to be part of the show from the USC Pro Day. And the USC Pro Day, I've never been before, and I would never care in advance ever before, if it wasn't for the fact that Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick, and in particular to Browners Bears. I thought it was amazing yesterday that Keenan Allen showed up with the Bears general manager wearing Bears gear, and Keenan Allen lives in LA, right? Been playing for the Chargers for all these years. Keenan Allen shows up to scout.
Yeah.
That's my quarterback. That's my quarterback. Oh, look at Browner. So unhappy about the whole thing. But if you're Keenan Allen, you're like, hey, look, I was busy playing. I know who he is. I know he
won on, bro.
2 years ago. But look, dude, let me come out and take a look at him.
Look at your quarterback, man.
See what he's all about. You know? Take a look at this kid.
Hmm.
He can throw. Whoop-de-doo.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. Let me tell you about his workout. Because I don't know if you guys were really watching it on the NFL.
Before we get to that real quick, yeah. I want to correct myself because I don't want anyone coming after me about being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
I kept reading.
You care about
after
that?
Ohtani agreed to pay the debts, Mizuhara, the interpreter, said on Tuesday, Ohtani logged onto his own computer and sent the wire transfers under Mizuhara's supervision in installments over several months last year. And they added the description because Boyer, the bookie, told them to add it, some sort of description. So they put Shohei Ohtani loan. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, how you market, but it doesn't change the fact that Ohtani sent the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that doesn't change the fact that Ohtani sent the money.
Why Ohtani didn't simply give him the money instead of paying Boyer associate directly?
Great question.
Mizuhara said Ohtani didn't trust him with the money, saying, quote, he didn't want me to gamble it away.
That's actually a good excuse. That's actually a pretty good excuse. What article are you reading? Is this passing in ESPN?
It's ESPN's. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
This was the article that was going to come out before they started poo-pooing all over it and then changed their story.
So. Yeah. Well, anyway, just back to this Caleb Williams. That's all right. Back to this Caleb Williams thing for one quick second. So when the workout was over, and I'll tell you guys in a second, when the workout was over, me and my boy Alex, we walked to the car together. We walked to the car because we were going to go have lunch. Alex, we went to La Barca.
Where
it was great. And I've been there before. I just didn't realize that I'd been there before. It was really good. Really good. So we walked to the car, and here's what Alex says to me, because he's a NFL offensive coordinator. I'm just a radio guy who has been around the NFL my whole career, right?
With a badge.
He said, right. He said, Alex says to me, you tell me what you thought. Because it wasn't like he said, hey, let me tell you what I thought. He said, you tell me, smart guy, what did you think of Caleb Williams' workout? And I said, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was awesome. He said, okay, keep going. I said, well, as I was walking out, I heard a USC coach and a reporter. And the reporter said to the USC coach, an assistant coach, boy, he looked good. And the coach said, nah, he's had better days. And I thought, yeah, he missed on a couple of deep balls where he overthrew guys. His deep balls were wobbly. Okay. They weren't like beautiful ducks. Spirals. I wouldn't call them ducks, because a duck to me is a ball that gets thrown and gets hung up in the air and then sort of drops. They were wobbly. They weren't perfect spirals at all. Okay. They were good balls, but they were incomplete and they were wobbly. So I thought on deep balls, he may have been like 1 out of 4 on deep balls. Everything else that he threw, intermediate routes, out routes, very accurate, very natural thrower of the ball. In other words, like, he doesn't look like he's stressing himself throwing the ball. So all in all, here's what I said to Alex. I go, Alex, I thought it was a really solid workout. I think he's the number one overall pick because of, what he's accomplished in his college career. He looked thicker and stronger than I expected. He's short. He's only 6 feet tall. I thought it was a good workout. I said, so what did you think? And he said to me, he goes, I think you're very accurate with what you're saying. He goes, his deep ball was not as impressive as I would have hoped. It definitely had a lot of wobble to it. He said, but the one thing that I would have liked to have seen was more drive of the ball. And I said, what do you mean by drive of the ball? And he said, well, when you throw an out route, if you put air on the ball, if you're trying to like put it over a DB, that doesn't work in the NFL. At times it might, but you have to be able to throw a line drive, And he goes, and I would have liked to have seen him drive the ball a little bit more. He goes, so that's sort of my only criticism. Deep ball was wobbly and incomplete, and I didn't see a lot of great drive. I saw a lot of placement over, and you're throwing against air. So that's all. I mean, otherwise though, we had lunch, me, Alex, and the Patriots quarterbacks coach, and they're both like, yeah, that's your, number one overall pick. There he is. That's what he looks like. You know,
well, I hope Browner's right, and I hope that the Bears don't take him.
Look, man, I'm on record for this. This ain't nothing new y'all finna hear from me. I think he's going to be okay. I don't think he's going to be otherworldly. I think they've surrounded him with the more talent than any number one pick has ever had on his roster on the offensive side of the ball since Justin Herbert.
And you know what, Browner? It's funny you say that because I said yesterday because me and George were having this conversation yesterday on the radio, and he was like, Robert Griffin III is saying that he should not go to Chicago. He should tell them not to draft him because of the way they did Justin Fields. You know, that's the way they do guys with the Bears. Yes. And I said, true. But on the other hand, when you're the number one overall pick, more often than not, you're having to deal with what Bryce Young dealt with last year, where you're going to a terrible team. Correct. You know, the fact is most people don't realize that the Bears won 7 games last year, you know, and that the Bears
don't tell people that. Don't tell people facts. No, don't let facts get in the way of him being.
My point is that here's all I'm trying to say is that Caleb Williams might be going to a team that's improving. They're not 1-16. They're not 2-15. They're not 3-14. They're 7-10. So to me, adding Keenan Allen is a big deal. And if Caleb Williams, and this is an if Caleb Williams walks through the door and he is better than Justin Fields, which frankly I doubt, but if he does, then the Bears can go from being a 7-win team to maybe being an 8 or a 9-win team.
See, and this is where I'm going to stop you, sir, because I like what you said. But the truth of the matter is, for people in that city, the way that they went about this, the guy who they gave up on, they got to be a playoff team and they got to win 10 games. If they don't win more than 7, the head coach is fired.
Well, and by the way, that's another reason why I disagree with Robert Griffin III. If he goes there and they don't make the playoffs in his first year, because now you look at what happened in Houston last year, crappy organization, first year head coach, rookie quarterback, makes the playoffs and wins a playoff game. If you can't do that, guess what? Your coach is fired. Your entire staff is fired. And then the next year, they go out and they find an offensive coach to hire rather than a defensive coach.
I mean, I think if you can't be your best on pro day when everything is tailored to your way, there's no weather interference, like this is your – so just come out and do what you do best. If people walk away not going, wow, then you've done yourself a disservice. This is the same thing that happened to
– Did people walk away going, wow? Because I don't know. I didn't see any of the post coverage. I was like –
You were there.
I thought, well, I left. I didn't
see guys have pro days, i.e. Zach Wilson, where people are like, damn, It don't matter.
But that's my hope. But I agree with you. I hate pro days. I think they're silly. I really do think they're silly. But if you're going
to. I explained to Mar, my wife, what you did yesterday, by the way. And she was like, what? And I was like, she's like, they worked out. And I was like, well, yeah, they tried to, and I found myself immediately trying to defend Pro Day.
To justify it.
And 5 seconds in, I was like, yeah, it's stupid. I don't know what you want me to tell you. And she's like, what, are they in their underwear? And I was like, no, that's the comp. What am I saying? It out loud.
There was a guy in his underwear yesterday.
Yeah.
There was this tall, lean, ripped brother who was about probably 6'4" and six pack and wearing tiny pair of underwear, no shirt. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just showing off his bottom. Like, we're watching this guy run 40s.
Yeah.
You know?
That's kind of reinforcing Browner's point. And my wife just drove it in my head. Like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. She's like, how many people were there? I was like, the entire NFL was there yesterday.
Yeah, everybody.
Hundreds. Dude, Marvin Harrison Jr. is getting flack for not doing anything at a pro day. He didn't do anything at the combine. And I'm like, yeah, you shouldn't. You've got tape on top of tape on top of tape.
Level. At the highest level.
At the highest level against the best competition. You do, if you fly to Columbus to watch me work out, that won't prove anything.
I saw Marvin Harrison Jr. and his dad, Marvin Harrison, on ESPN, but the volume was down, so I didn't know, and it seemed like the dad was doing all the talking. So I don't know what exactly was said, but yeah, I mean, everybody's like, well, why isn't he working out? Because he doesn't need to.
For what?
I mean, Caleb Williams, I think, sort of needed to answer a couple of questions. What does he look like? How tall is he really? He's 6 feet tall. I mean, he is legit 6 feet.
That's short. You know?
That's it. But I mean, he's Russell Wilson's height. He's Drew Brees' height. That's it. That's all he is. Alex, what did the post workout like talking heads NFL Network interviews have to say? Did you watch any of that, or did you grab?
Yeah, he was asked about. So, what are you expecting? Being taken number one?
Just the fact that they traded Justin Fields and they cleared some runway for you to land. Yep. Is that your full expectation to be headed there?
It's a good question. I wouldn't say it's my full expectation. Obviously, things can happen. Things can change throughout this time. I think it's around 33 days or so, 30 days until, you know, April 25th. And so, you know, a lot can change. And you take it day by day. Handle and control what you can control.
Yeah, in the background, I don't know if you guys were looking. I was looking in the background, but I could see Norv Turner standing there in the background. And, you know, listen, he's going to be the number one overall pick, period. That's it.
They should take Jaden Daniels. They should take Jaden Daniels. They won't now because now they can't. They have to take Caleb.
But can I ask you a question?
Me?
Like, what makes you so much more sure in Jaden Daniels?
Because I like I like Jaden Daniels' growth, and I like his athleticism. So if you're asking me what I like in a quarterback, I like a quarterback who can run with the ball, because I've never seen in the team I rooted for all these years have a solid offensive line that can pass block. So I want my guy to be
not your
make
team
his
anymore.
Own way.
So don't worry about the
pick. Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. Now you're a Steeler fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a great tweet.
You get
yesterday.
To keep watching Justin Fields, dude. Yeah. I don't know why you're getting so mad.
We got a great tweet yesterday from Joseph Cabral. Shout out to Joe sending us a tweet. Yeah. He goes, hey, look at Browner's new team. And he had a vehicle, like a Steeler decked out vehicle. He goes, look, it's Browner. Browner's Shout new out. Favorite team. Shout out to Joseph.
I will stand on this and I'll die on this. Nobody knows who's going to be good. Nobody.
No.
Nobody knows who's going to be good, or else every first overall pick would be a massive success.
Right. Every first round quarterback would be a star NFL player. And it's only about 50-50. It's the same thing I always say.
I'm saying I would take Jaden Daniels because I believe in the tools that he has more than I have.
But you know that
I'm not saying Caleb Williams is not good.
No, but the Bears will take Caleb Williams out of fear, that what happens if.
So. The crazy part is. And I know you can't, but the crazy part is reverse 365 days. Caleb comes out after Heisman and after having like a valiant effort in the Pac-12 championship. No one's saying all these negative things about him. Nobody.
It's last year. It's last year. There was only one way to go, and that was down.
Right.
The more you see.
And he did.
Yeah.
He went down from first overall pick to first overall pick.
the more information you have, the better.
Because go on social media and look at Daniel Jeremiah. Look at all the dudes that break down film.
Number one,
and they're like, dude, look at his throws. The dude freaking knows how to throw the ball, man. Like,
But
is he going to be good? I don't know.
No.
Well, hey, listen, hope the Bears don't take him. I hope the Vikings trade up and get him.
Yeah. Let me have 1 minute here to just mention Prize Picks, because Alex, yesterday you were saying that you thought that the combo plays, the special plays, which was a combination of like basketball players and baseball players, you thought all of them were good yesterday.
Money.
And so Fernando Tatis, I'm trying to remember who he was paired with yesterday. I don't know if it was Luca or no, it was Kyrie Irving. Who was it? Was it Steph?
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, how many three-pointers are Steph going to put up? How many bases is Tatis going to have? And combine those, and you can start. Did you have that yesterday?
I had that.
I forgot to make my plays yesterday.
It was Mookie Betts and James Harden, and it ended up being James Harden made four threes, and Mookie Betts basically had seven bases. He had 13 total.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't make my plays yesterday. I lost
four threes on his own. So
yeah, I got distracted yesterday and I didn't make my plays. So I got to get back at it today. Download the Prize Picks app, use our code Great Friends, and you're going to get a first time deposit match of up to $100. So if you put in 100, they put in 100, you've got 200. Download the Prize Picks app today and use our code Great Friends for that first deposit match of up to $100. Now the game is super simple. We tell you about it all the time. LeBron James over my right shoulder here. Is LeBron James going to score more than 24.5 or less than 24.5? It's kind of really just that easy. And then they have other things that you can play. Like, for example, not just scoring. You could play like, is Kevin Durant going to have more than one dunk or less than one dunk in a game? Alex, you seem to be looking at Prize Picks right now and you're looking at some plays. I see your facial gestures. What are you looking at right now?
Sorry, I just got I haven't seen Prize Picks give us something on F1 other than pit stops, but now you can wager more or less on the starting position for the Australian Grand Prix. I love that.
Wait, say that one more time.
You can wager if like Sergio Perez, my boy, my Mexican brother for Red Bull, will he start higher or lower than 3.5? I love that.
Okay, that's cool. Today being Thursday, this is usually when they play darts. Let me see if Luke Littler is around today. Let me see what I can find on Luke.
Yeah, but by the time people are watching this, that's past.
Yeah, Luke Littler today. Today, 3.5, 180s. I'm going to play Luke for more than 3.5. And, you know, he's playing against Michael Smith today. And I think – is Michael – so you think you should play less than 3 180s? Or more than 3 180s?
Yeah, the pressure of facing the phenom, probably less.
Okay. All right, I'm going to play it right now. I've got Luke Littler for more than 3.5 180s. I've got Michael Smith for less than 3 180s. I'm playing it right. I'm freaking playing darts, dude. I don't even know who these guys are.
Dang, they already got futures for NFL too.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what? How many wins more, for the Bears?
No, not that. The passing yards.
Oh.
Don't get Otani'd up in here, man. This is like Patrick Mahomes, 4,350 more or less passing yards.
Wow. How about Caleb Williams?
He's not on a team yet, so I'm sure that would impact.
They don't already have him with the Bears jersey?
No.
All right. Well, download that Prize Picks app and get involved with me, Browner, Grande, and 3 million other people that are playing Prize Picks. Use that Prize Picks app and use our code GREATFRIENDS. All right. There you go. All right. So hard left turn here. Oh. So we spent all this time talking about Ohtani and the gambling scandal, if you will. And let me say that we didn't even really talk about the game. And Alex, you mentioned it at the beginning of the broadcast today. Everything's going to be positive. But wait a second. Joe Musgrove has not looked good in spring. Been giving up a lot of runs and didn't exactly have a overly impressive performance. 2 2/3. 7 hits, 5 runs, all 5 earned, 2 walks, only 2 strikeouts. Joe Musgrove, 2 years ago, we battled over and over again about what he is and what he should get paid. And then he got hurt last year and he didn't have a great year. And now to get started, not a great start. Take us through this.
Yeah, you just did. It's 2.5, 2 2/3, 5 earned runs. 2 walks, 7 hits allowed. Michael King, who was probably like the main guy from the Juan Soto trade, also got roughed up today. 3 1/3, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, though. So, yeah, not great because Musgrove specifically was getting roughed up in spring, as if you all remember. So not encouraging to start, I would say. But they got a week off to figure it out.
Michael King, he's a starter, right? I mean, I'm just assuming that they're using him just because
they Musgrove got roughed up and they have a week off. So like Mike Schilt was acting like it was a playoff game. He's like, he just threw out the entire bullpen out there. But I told you I'm going to stay positive. You know what today, what we saw, what Browner just absolutely freaking hated, we never saw last year? You saw Robert Suarez get you a 4-out save.
True.
Something that Josh Hader would never ever think about doing. Suarez came on with runners on in a threat. Yeah, he gave up a hit, but it was because Bogaerts like muffed it off his glove, diving, solid hit by Mookie. But Suarez, 4-out save, man. Positive only.
I got to admit, you know, 2 days ago, I tried to wake up at 2:58 in the morning to watch the game. Woke up, turned on the game, couldn't see the game because it was blacked out on ESPN in LA. Which is where I was, I'm staying in a hotel, you know, living the hotel life. This morning at 2:58 a.m., I wasn't waking up. And even when I woke up, I went to pee, I freaking never turned the TV on because
you missed a lot, man.
Let me see what I missed.
Hits, 15 runs, Cronenworth proving me and Browner wrong, at least for one game, 4 for 4, 4 RBIs, 2 runs. Machado with the clutch, 3-run home run in the 9th because it got really close there at the end.
Bro, you leaving off the most important person. The guy who's about to shove it in. My dog, Jack. No, that's your listen. You need to atone for what you've done about Jackson Merrill. I'm not gonna get no details. Folks know how you treated Jackson Merrill before he got out there on that field. Now he looked like the real deal. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the man at the bottom of the screen.
What? Hurry up. We gotta go.
You talk a lot of trash about Xander Bogaerts.
What about him?
Big time, both games. What you mean, what about him?
I told you I didn't see any of them. The first one was blacked out, and last night I decided to sleep through it.
He's been great. Well, be a blackout. Four hits this series.
Why does it have to be blacked out? All right, hold on. Stick around. This is Kaplan and Crew. More. All right, great friends. Hey, today's show here on Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, it's going to make one listener very happy on Instagram because it's been a very sports heavy show today. So whoever that guy is, who's always complaining that we don't talk enough sports, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be happy today because of all the sports. Real quick, though, Browner, finish your thought on Xander Bogaerts. The fact is I slept through the game last night, and the game before that I didn't get to see because it was blacked out in L.A. when I'm living the hotel life. Yeah, Bogaerts with his bat yesterday.
And with his glove today.
So I didn't see that. So what did Bogaerts do at second base defensively?
Bogaerts held it down at second base, made a nice little diving stab, stole a hit away in a very key situation, was absolutely money at the bat, got the ball rolling against this fraud they spent all this money on as a pitcher. Hey, bro, just, mm-hmm. you know, just because you're throwing first pitch strikes don't mean guys ain't going to hit them. Welcome to Major League Baseball, big fella. It's just awesome. Xander Bogaerts, awesome start to the year, but he did start off good last year too. So, awesome yes, start. Awesome start. See if he can keep it up. Looking worth every penny. Looking like he worked every penny. All right. So that's in your face. That's
in keep
your
it up, face. Man. See, why is the it problem my face? With this? The problem with this your trip face. Too is like you get a week off now, your and face. You got to fly
your
back.
Face. No, you your face.
Your face.
Yo, your face. Face. No. Oh, all up your in face. Yo. Oh, in your face. In your face.
Your face.
All right. Hey, before we
you know what else we missed today.
No, tell me.
The broadcasters drooling all over Mookie Betts' defense after mm-hmm. bobbling a ball and just so happened to be near the base to accidentally step on it. Mm-hmm. They're like, look at the – Carl Ravage goes, look at the athleticism and ability of Mookie. And I was like, bro, he just bobbled an easy ball to his left. He just so happened to be at second to get a force out to stick his foot out. And then Muncy had an error today. I'm telling you it's a problem, Scott, in your face.
I like the way you put Carl Ravage in there. You like put your hands on your side. You're like, look at Mookie. Look at how Mookie. Athletic Mookie is.
Bro, yeah. I gotta tell y'all, Mookie Betts like the GOAT at baseball, man. I ain't gonna even lie. That boy look good, man. That boy look good.
I mean, offensively, there's no questions he's freaking ridiculous offensively. Yo,
oh my God. I'm like the Dodgers.
Like the interpreter stole from Ohtani, the Dodgers stole from the Red Sox. That was a trade.
Hands
that
down.
Was I can't. I won't use the word, but it was bad. Bad.
Oh my God, buddy. Wait,
so Ohtani did steal from Ohtani, or the interpreter did steal from Ohtani?
We're just saying, on, like bro. That's the story.
Oh, I just want to make sure
if
I understand.
If we go with the story,
just want to make sure I understand, player. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. All right, listen. You know what I really need right now, and I don't have.
A bet.
I need some of that. I need some of that Life Brew Mushroom Life Coffee. I need some
you
need
of that. To get the bag, Pippen?
Yeah, I need some of that.
Get the bag.
Boy, I'll tell you right now, Brett Weiss, he came to your comedy show and you did that joke about Chick-fil-A and needing more white people working at Chick-fil-A.
God,
dude, he don't stop. He don't. He goes to Chick-fil-A every day and he takes pictures of black people working in Chick-fil-A. What's up?
In different states, he's traveling places at the Chick-fil-A and sending us the receipt with pictures of people. Right. In the Chick-fil-A.
Right. Hey, Browner, look, a lot of white people working here at Chick-fil-A. You know, or then, hey, Browner, look, a lot of black people working here at Chick-fil-A. I mean, all because of one joke.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, check him out. His Mushroom Life Coffee, which is called Life Brew. You save 20% by using the code KLYFE, KLIFE20, or you can use the QR code that's on your screen. All right, great friends. Hey, we've had an electric broadcast already today. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And whether you're listening on radio on 1090, or you're watching on YouTube, or you're listening on audio podcast, or tonight you're watching all over TV. Things have been crazy today because not only do we have the NCAA basketball tournament that tipped off earlier today, but this story about Ohtani and the Dodgers and these allegations and the changing of the story and the Padres beating the Dodgers in the middle of the night, scoring 15 runs in Seoul, Korea. I mean, it's just been a crazy show. But now let us turn our attentions to tomorrow, Friday, and San Diego State tomorrow in the NCAA basketball tournament against UAB. And I really, guys, I want to hear from Corby Craig from BetUS what he thinks about this game, how we should play it, and maybe he's got some other really big hot tips for us. Grande, Brown Man, Corby Craig is back on the show from BetUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS and BetUS.com. What's up, Corby?
I'm good. How are you? It's been a minute.
Yeah. Well, it's been like, like 5 minutes or so since last week. That's
pretty
right.
Much.
5 minutes.
It's been like five minutes. It's been like 5 days. It's been 5 minutes. Corby, where are you, man?
I am in Vegas. I came out for round one. Enjoying the show. I have Circa behind me, so you might get some audio feedback if, you know, they are always pumping music. But excited to watch these games. Michigan State looking good early, but more excited. And I think I told you all this last week, but a little known fact, and this show just worked out perfect because we didn't have a bracket last week. You are San Diego State guys. I graduated UAB. So this is going to be.
Oh, that's right. Thing. That's right. I forgot about that.
Corby, maybe what we should do is I'm holding up right now the literature that was sent to my house. This is from BetUS, and this is the $1 million bracket challenge that they've got going on. But given that you're a UAB alum, and given that Alex here is a San Diego State alum, outside of you telling us how to wager on the game, okay, maybe we should have a little side action going.
I'm here for it.
Hey, by the way, you don't have, or maybe you do, you don't have any connections to Ohtani, do you? I mean, you're not involved in that mess, are you?
I'm not. Ohtani's my favorite player. I have a signed bat in my other setup, and he's my favorite player, and I just really hope this goes away because, listen, there's not very many things that could stifle his legacy. He's very quickly become one of the best players ever and has the upside of possibly the best baseball player I will ever watch. And then I woke up to this and I was like, no, I
can't. By the way, doesn't take away from him being the same baseball player. He might just have a gambling problem. That's all.
But Browner.
But by the way, Browner said it right. I mean, Browner, you want to say he doesn't have a gambling problem. What does he have?
Listen, hobbies, baby. Hobbies. It ain't a problem if you can afford it. I can't keep telling y'all. Okay. Us low level broke folks, it'll be a problem for us. Okay. If you got problems paying other bills because of your other problems, then you got problems.
Yeah, you got to call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's what you got to do. You got to call 1-800-GAMBLER. But Brown, did you hear what Corby said? He said, I hope not. I hope he's my favorite player. I've got to sign back. See, that's the difference between Trevor Bauer or Julio Urias. Those kinds of guys, they got shipped out. That was Corby, violence. That was women, et cetera, et cetera. This is, as Corby said, I love Ohtani. Mm-hmm. That's how people feel about him, which is why I believe everybody in LA media, the Dodger organization, Major League Baseball, dude, they will do everything they can to put this away.
It just makes him more relatable.
Corby, let me talk to the betting side of your brain, okay? Let me talk to the betting side, not your heart. I want to talk to your mind, okay? What do you know most about? Sports-wise.
Basketball.
You know the most about college basketball. And what do you bet on the most?
College basketball.
So if you know that much about something, why don't you put all your money into that?
What are you insinuating, JV?
Hey, I object. You're leading the witness. I object.
If it's not contradictory to what your performance does, I am in a camp that, like, hey, if also – as you say, he signed a $700 million contract. We hear he wired $4 million and everybody's like, oh, that's an issue. And it's like, I mean, he made that playing in Korea yesterday.
Yeah. Lightweight. That's popcorn money.
By the way, he's the top paid baseball player this year in baseball, and he's making $2 million salary because he's bringing in $65 million in endorsements just this year alone.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
I got in this debate and somebody said he's the next Pete Rose. And I said, listen, he's too lovable of a character. He won't be Pete Rose. He'll be the next Michael Jordan. It's like, if you think Michael Jordan actually wanted to go play minor league baseball, look into what he is. Some of us have gambling problems and Michael's one of those too. So he's too big of a face. He'll go be a quarterback for the Bears or something.
Your Bears,
Browner. What are you doing?
Your Bears, Brown. That's right. Corby Craig is here from BetUS. 1-800-MY-BETUS, BetUS.com. If you're looking to play college basketball games, that's the place to do it. I've mentioned to you that I've had an account for a long time, and they sent me this this thing in the mail, which is really their bracket challenge, their $1 million bracket challenge. I have no chance to win because I picked all kinds of upsets. Corby, let us start off with this. You went to UAB. Alex went to San Diego State. We follow San Diego State. We follow the Mountain West. So in this game tomorrow between UAB and San Diego State, set it up, Alex. You probably put the slide up on the screen. The line in the game and how you think is best to play it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting game. There's pros and cons to both sides. I'm a UAB alum fan. I talk to the player. UAB is such a small school that it's easy to kind of know these players. So I was talking to the shooting guard of last year's team last night, and it sounds like UAB has pretty good strategy going into this game, which is the only thing that gives me real hope. The issue is the Blazers played in Texas in the conference championship 4 days ago, 5 days ago. They had to travel to Birmingham, have a celebration in Birmingham, and then they flew out yesterday to Spokane, Washington. This isn't a team that can shoot well. These aren't kids that traveled AAU circuits their whole lives. These are low-level, like Eric Gaines, our starting point guard, wasn't even recruited. Like he's made his way through the college ranks. He's a great player, but I mean, he was a two-star, I think. So this travel is going to be really tough for a team that just can't shoot. But I will say, the only reason I have hope, and the way I would play this, is UAB is going to run full-court zone press, transition into a half-court zone, which San Diego State has not faced, that I know, in an athletic capability. Like, there's some Mountain West teams that run the zone, just not with Eric Gaines as your point guard. They haven't faced it in years. So I would be interested to see, off of this layover and this travel delay, what San Diego State comes out as. If they need to feed Ladie, they're going to be in trouble, because Chris Coleman is 6'10 with probably a 40-inch vertical. I don't know if y'all saw. He almost dunked from the free throw line in their championship the other day. He was over the rim and he just did a layup, which I respect, because it would have been a bad miss. But they have the athletes to guard. It's just a question of can they score? And to be honest, I don't think they can. I think San Diego State probably gets this done, and it's going to be the most boring game you've seen in a minute. So the way I would play this due to travel is a first half under 65. If San Diego State can learn how to, or can beat this 2-3 instantly, I think that they have pretty easy time scoring. I don't know if my Blazers can score, to be honest.
So, okay. You say play the under in the first half?
Yes.
Under 65 in the first half.
First half under 65.
Yeah. Okay. San Diego State, notorious slow starters. Notoriously struggle for large stretches of the game to score. And then as of the championship game on Saturday, notoriously bad enders too.
Yeah, ice cold.
Yeah, ice cold.
So here's the thing, Corby. You've given us one. Play the under for 65 in the first half. The game, the San Diego State is a 7.5-point favorite. Would you play that or would you not play that?
I wouldn't, because again, kind of like what he's bringing up is there is the ability for them to be too slow, and in a 2-3, like if you're not hitting shot, or if you can't break it, you see this happen all the time in college basketball in particular. Is these college kids, if thrown a wrench that they're not ready for, like they'll turn the ball over 11 times. They aren't capable of just making the switch in their head and saying, hey, we need to change this. You see it all the time. And so the worry with taking San Diego State would be that they can't make that. I do inevitably think they do, but this is kind of a number also, like, does UAB hit a three with 6 seconds left, down nine? It doesn't matter. And then you lose a 7.5. 7.5 in March Madness just is a number that I wouldn't want to touch.
Okay. Yeah. Any other?
It is funny because sometimes does the 12-5 seeding, the notorious upset, does that stick in your brain at all or not really?
No, not at all. That's just a number that somebody sets beside it. Okay. Beside a thing. At one point this year, they had South Florida as the 15th best team in the nation per AP, which is the same ranking system basically. And AP per my numbers, or South Florida per my numbers, was 107th in the nation. So it's just a metric that people
use. Yeah, I was going to ask you,
like,
too.
An example. Go ahead. New Mexico right now is at 11th.
Exactly what I was going to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah, they're favored in the Clemson game, and so it's
right.
They're a much better team. So it just comes down to where the committee decided, quote unquote, they should deserve. And if you've read the internet as of late, they had a really crappy time this year. They didn't make a very good bracket.
You know that, Scott? New Mexico's 11 seed, mm-hmm. and they're favored over Clemson, the 6 seed, by almost 3 points.
I have them winning the game. I actually have – this is to me, this is the year of the Mountain West. 6 teams in, and many of them feeling disrespected.
They won play-in games. Let's relax.
All I'm saying is that this is the year of the Mountain West for me and my bracket. I have Utah State making it to the Final Four.
What's wrong with you?
I just decided to play.
You have who?
Utah State.
They have a very
interesting round two. Round two matchup will be a good one.
Let me take a look at where my bracket comes out here.
Oh God.
Oh God, what? What is, oh God? I've got him beating TCU, and then I've got him upsetting Purdue.
Let me see that paper, big dog. Roll out that paper, big dog.
Yeah.
Do you like the, like, so Kansas has a big injury. Obviously, injuries impact. You talked about it last week about how much it impacts a line. They lost their top scorer yesterday. Browner's telling me, well, they got a 4-star dude on the bench ready to take 19 points, still 19 points. So is that a big, like when someone that like of that magnitude gets injured, is that something we should pay attention to?
I would say that the average person thinks much more of it. Browner is fully correct. Like, in most cases, if this isn't Kansas, yes. The issue here is like the average person is going to see that and they're going to go, hey, they just lost 19 points. Like, this is a live dog. The market only moved 1 point. McCullers is their best player and it only moved 1 point. There's a big issue. So I'm Birmingham native UAB alum. Samford is in Birmingham. I love Bucky. I think he's a great coach. Everything they're doing. And the only way that they win this game is if they start off in a flurry because they play fast. Dickinson sat out, so he's going to be, you know, maybe have some like noodle legs for a second. If they can get on a hot start, this will be the Xavier versus Kennesaw State of last year. Just Xavier, the better team, but wasn't ready for 35 minutes. But if you go back and look, Samford played Purdue this year. I don't know if y'all remember that game. It was the first game of the year, so you probably don't.
Nope. No.
Purdue won 98-47. Like, this isn't a Samford team who's just like everyone wants to make Cinderella, but I don't think inevitably it'll happen. Another injury spot, as you talk injuries, and a spot that I think I have heard no one on any radio show talk about the spot. And of course, since I say that, they're going to get killed. But I don't think there's no one seeds that are going to lose. Like, that's a hard thing to happen anyway. So I don't think any one seeds lose. But you go to the 2-seed slot. Marquette is playing Western Kentucky. And Marquette, everyone knows Kolick has been out. He had an oblique injury. He's expected back. He's 100%, quote unquote. But like, are we just going to believe them in saying that he's 100%? And if he's not, like he is their whole team. And so like, let's say he starts off slow. He hasn't played in 4 weeks. They're playing Western Kentucky, a team who is seventh in the nation in tempo and a full court press with 4 guards and 1 big. So if in the half court, Marquette wins this game by 20, if Kolick isn't ready, and Western Kentucky plays a game that they need to play, you could see a team that I see a lot of people have in their national championship in Marquette or playing Houston in the Final Four, Marquette losing in the first round to a very talented Western Kentucky team who in conference has had to play the slowest team in the nation in Middle Tennessee and the fastest team in the nation in Florida International. So this is a team who's been through the trials and tribulations, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it. They're a really good basketball team.
Is that game today or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 11 a.m.
What's the line on that game? Marquette and Western Kentucky.
A lot.
14.5.
14.5?
So somebody agrees with me. It was 17 last night or 2 days ago.
Okay. I'm gonna play on BetUS. I'm gonna play Western Kentucky for the hell of it. What the heck? You know? I mean, I'm looking for upsets here, dude. You know?
I like it. And I'll give you one more, and this is the worst. Listen, I gave you a bet on the show that a minus 20 that only won by one on a buzzer beater. So let's redeem ourselves here with another just absolutely nasty favorite. You're going to have to lay a lot of points. We just watched Grambling State play in the playing game versus Montana State. I don't know if you guys got to catch that game. And if you did, I apologize because it was awful basketball. But Grambling State, if you did watch that game, they don't have a big man. They run 5 guards. And their guards can't shoot. They play rugby and they tried to get to the free throw line, which it didn't work until the last 8 minutes. They went on a 26-10 run to win that game in overtime. They should not have won. They now have to face Purdue, who everyone wants to laugh about and say they lost in the first round last year. They all are well aware of this. They're going to be pissed off. And I don't know if you'll know this, but they have Zach Edey on their team. A team with no center now that won the SWAC as a 2 games over .500 champion, now has to go play Zach Edey and Purdue, a team that doesn't shoot threes. They hit 4 threes in that game, has to try to drive basket versus a 7'4", 310 post. It's not going to happen. I don't know how they score 50 points. And so does Purdue slow down after last year's loss? I don't think so. I laid Purdue minus 26, and I think 26 is not even close. I think this is probably going to be one of the uglier upsets you've seen in March Madness in a very long time.
You say upsets. What do you mean? Purdue covering the 26?
Blowout. Sorry, not upset. I mixed my words there.
Okay.
Purdue, not an upset. Okay, anti-upset.
So two plays here. Purdue lay the 26, which is ridiculous, but okay, got it. And Western Kentucky to cover the 14.5.
I like it.
And San Diego State, the under of 65 in the first half.
Yep.
And I can do all of that on BetUS. The under of 65 in the first half. I've never done that before. I can do that on BetUS.
Yep, you'll get the best price in market. I think it's 5 cents better than everyone else right now. I just bet it probably 20 minutes ago.
Wow. I just would love to just give you access to my account and say, here, play my if I give you
hey,
my
hey, careful.
Kotani.
Kotani, yeah. Careful yeah. now. You might rack up $4.5 million of debt, dude.
No, man. I got like $250 in my account. Come on. Come 25 on, units, Alex.
25 oh, units. There you go.
Corby, it is great to be with you. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you. Good luck today. Good luck tomorrow. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Corby from BetUS, 1-800-MY-BETUS, betus.com. All right. Listen, you heard him give you some ideas on how to play. For everybody that's listening on radio right now, stick around. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to get back into the Ohtani situation. We'll get back into what the Padres did while in Korea. We got a lot more to get to on radio. For those of you that are with us on podcast, let's go get uncensored right now. All right, gentlemen, going to finish up strong today and
full
tomorrow.
Stop. Oh, full stop. Oh, shit. Full stop.
Okay.
Because we told all three of us forgot about this. Tomorrow's Friday. Aztecs play during when we record.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Hey, this is a good
so hey. we're going live tomorrow, whoa. Correct?
We'll do it live.
We're going to go live.
What time?
Do we want to just meet up for the final 5 minutes of the game and then just do a segment after that? Or do we just want to come on live right after the game's over?
You're confusing me a little bit. What time is the game?
10:45.
Okay, so the game's at 10:45. So we're going to go live during the game?
I'm asking if we want to go live at the end of the game, just to like, if it's a close game, if it's a blowout game, we can start going whatever. Or do we just want to come live and talk, go post game, basically is what I'm asking. So
I guess my question to you is this. Most of our great friends know that we start the broadcast every morning at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we post it at 3 p.m. And then we all hang out together from 3 to 5.
Correct.
On YouTube. What are you suggesting? What is tomorrow's show? Are we not coming on at 10?
Well, I don't. Okay, now you're acting surprised, but we talked about this on text.
I know, but it's not because I'm surprised because I don't remember us talking about it. It's because I'm unclear on what time. Because I'm because right. here. I guess here's my question.
Yeah.
What is tomorrow's radio version of the show?
It's going to be like a best of. Okay, probably a replay of today. Probably.
Okay.
That's actually a really good idea because of the topic, and then the first segment will be what we record on YouTube.
Right.
The first segment of tomorrow's radio show will
so
be.
So if you remember, I don't have time for us to do a show at 10 and then do another segment at 1, whatever. I don't have time. It's physically impossible for me to edit the show, export the show, post the show, upload the show on time for 3 o'clock YouTube. Okay. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. So we can do something. We can easily come on here and do like two segments that I could air at 3 o'clock if something, you know, to talk about something. But what we agreed on was to do best of and for the YouTube audience to come on live right after the game.
Okay. My confusion, just so you know, is that Thursday of next week, we're going to actually do a live broadcast from downtown for Padres opening day.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. on that day, because the Padre game starts at like 1 o'clock, we actually have decided that on radio, we'll do a best of show because we're going to do a YouTube live show that day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And because people will be watching the Padre game or listening to the Padre game, we're not like losing anything by putting a best of show on. So there's my confusion that next week is going to be a best of on Padre's opening day as mm-hmm. we do a live broadcast. And we'll give you guys all the details as to where we're going to be. And we'd love everybody to come visit. Okay.
Absolutely.
But you're saying for tomorrow's game, I think what we should do for tomorrow's game is this. The game's at 10:45.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should come on and do like one segment about the game, then air best of stuff, And then you're saying we should come on live with the last 5 minutes. What time would that? That'd be probably 12:30-ish.
Yeah, around there.
So you want to come on live on YouTube, but we wouldn't use that on radio?
Yes, we
would. I'm sorry, man. It's confusing. Yeah. It's confusing. Yeah. It really is.
No, I thought we were all on the same page.
Yeah, not.
Yeah, clearly.
My bad.
We're doing a best of. That's it.
Okay. 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 So then I guess the only thing we're going to do tomorrow is a live YouTube show, the last 5 minutes of the Aztec game.
Last 5 minutes, if we want, post game for however long, if they win, if they lose, we talk about it just to give the audience something. Right. Because it's going to be weird if we fucking do a show and everyone's watching the Aztecs, which we assume right. Our audience will be, there's no baseball, there's nothing else.
Right.
So, like, it's be weird if we do a whole show and then at 3 o'clock we just come on and we're talking about what? Like, and which we can, if you want, we can come on here and do a regular show.
I'm just thinking, like, if we come on at 10 mm-hmm. and then the game tips off at 10:45 and we're done at noon, the game's not even over yet.
Not even close to being over. So it's just going to be like incomplete and weird.
Okay. So again, just to be clear for me, because I got too much shit going on in my own life to keep fucking shit straight. We're doing a best of show tomorrow
on the radio,
but for the YouTube audience, which is really our core, our home base, we're going to be doing a YouTube live tomorrow.
A YouTube live show after the game.
Okay. I would even argue this. I would argue that what we should do is with 10 minutes to go in the second half, that's when we should come on.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah. And what I think the confusion is coming from me and Browners. We're talking about doing like in the live version, getting 21 minutes and putting that on radio too. If anybody tunes in at 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Got it.
That's where the confusion is.
Okay. So then let's do it that way then. So then let's come on in the last 5 minutes and we'll use that. But how can you actually do that for radio? I mean, how can you actually put that on the radio?
Okay. Okay. Here we go. So what we're going to do is we're going to come on the last 10 minutes of the game. We're going to record until it ends. Whenever we end, we're going to cut 20 minutes out of that and put that as the first segment on the radio show. Because the radio show is the easiest thing to upload because it takes the least amount of time. So that's the quickest thing to turn around. The problem with trying to turn it around for YouTube is that it's upload speed, which could take up to an hour to 3 hours, depending on how long the show is. So, but if you record it live, it's automatically up. There's no need to upload it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do this? Why don't we come then let's do it. Let's to be safe. Let's come on in the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
Because 5 minutes could last 20 minutes.
Correct.
All right. So we'll come on with 5 minutes to go. All right. Done.
Cool.
And then Alex, you're going to have to start preparing us tomorrow for this live broadcast. I mean, I guess
I'm going today. I'm going right now as soon as we're done.
Okay. Right. All right. All right. Listen, let's see if we can work this thing out. And then on Sunday, are we all getting together to deal with the fucking equipment shit?
At 12.
Yes. At your house.
Shit. I don't know if I'll be there. Fuck.
You can give me $400 and I can fix all this.
How's that? What does $400 do?
It's hot. It's hot right now. I got practice.
What does $400 do? How does $400
do? All right, Otani.
But no, because the piece of equipment that I lost during the move, okay, that can easily be obtained at your local Best Buy.
What is that?
A soundboard.
That's the soundboard.
I got a soundboard.
Okay, but do you have a soundboard or do you have the Comrex that you use for ESPN?
No, I have the soundboard, Jack.
You have the one from the old. Yeah, that's what I was told in Browner.
Yeah, I got one, dog.
Yeah.
But how will we be able to digitally plug that into the camera? Well, I guess we did do that. We did that for, okay, never mind. All right.
We're so fucked. Okay. Let me tell you something.
No, we're not.
Yeah,
you
we
have
are.
Have
a
simple confidence no, no, that we no, pull no, off
no,
everything
No, I have total
all
confidence.
Time.
When I say we're fucked, here's what I mean. We fucking pull off magic. No,
that's
bullshit.
Not we are fucked. That's no, no, not, it, that doesn't it, that sounds different.
No, no, it's just that like it's you know it's kind of like the way we fucking do shit around here. Like even next week, we're gonna do a live broadcast on Thursday for opening day. How the fuck do the three people, no radio station, no promotions department, no salespeople, no offices, no studios, no nothing. 5 years, by the way, we are 5 years removed from when 1090 went off the air right now. How the fuck do three people keep pulling this shit off?
You know why this works? Because you had the person who did the goddamn setups all the time on the show. You had the person who was running it back at the station all the time on the show. And then we have the person who had all the connections on the show. That's how we do it. We found the three most important people that were still fucking walking around that place, and we kept it moving. That simple.
All right, we got to go. We're back tomorrow. We're back tomorrow live during the Aztec game. Peace out.